A lot went on this week. Holy cow. Remember what I've said? It's always elites versus elites. You know what? And one of those sides sounds pretty good. They have a nice big talk about freedoms, rights, the things that you and I could sit there and go, yeah, that's what we want. Justice, accountability, you know, and then when it comes time to actually have justice and accountability, things go away, like Epstein. Epstein goes away. And then constant lying by the FBI, who can't apparently get their story straight. And apparently nobody knows how to fire anyone because it's not about justice for you. It's always about them. And it's kind of, it is confusing. I can see why many people are like, oh, no, you don't understand. What? Just think about it for a second. Cash is now in charge of the FBI, but you know he's got all the rogue agents. Not really. They fired thousands. Thousands. Okay? Your assumption is that they actually run it. Your assumption is that who you see giving you all the lip service, who parade around as our leaders, are the ones in charge. Charlie has done something that has upset them. And he's paid the price for it. None of the other ones are going to step out of line. They're going to do what they're told, and they are going to cover up for their masters. That is the reality. Now, the only thing you really got to think about, well, one, who are the masters? Because, like I said, it's elites versus elites. One of them, I'm sure you're guessing. But who is the other one? My guess is cartels. I think South America and other mobs, mob bosses, whatever you want to call them, they have probably been a huge thorn in the other side. It was like they had probably some kind of working relationship, and then it got out of hand. They couldn't be controlled. You gotta remember, these cartels, they are the armies. They themselves are a force to be reckoned with. They pretty much invented the modern drone warfare, guerrilla warfare. So keep that in mind as the day goes forward, because it's going to be a long day. I'm sure most of you either watched that memorial or you saw the snippets of the memorial. Now, the other thing you have to keep in mind, understanding that this is elites, is that their wives are made for the positions that they're in. They are, I don't want to say groomed, because it carries things nowadays that actually doesn't mean that. But they were trained, groomed in the sense of this is how you behave, you do your etiquette classes, you know, that kind of thing. So when you see somebody like, you know, a Jessica Kirk in that position, it's not that it's evil in the sense that you and I think evil. It is making sure that everything stays, and I put this in air quotes, in the family. You don't want, you know, something like the TPUSA going to an actual free press. My God, they've already lost control of so many arenas. They're certainly not going to give that up. So you make sure that in case something does happen, there's a fallback plan. Was she grieving? Yeah, but you know, they were trained for this. Their people have morals and their empathy is brought up in them. But if the main goal is not your spouse, it's the means to an end, it's not that there is a lack of love. There's just a different way of expressing it. For them, expressing love is to carry on in the direction it was going. That is the ultimate expression. They die, it's like, oh, so sad. Don't worry, honey, I'm going to keep going. Because that's what they were trained for. It's kind of like, you know, the Southern culture. We take care of everybody. That's how we were raised. That's what we were technically, quote unquote, trained to do. Hospitality, it's all cultural. And for them, that's part of their culture. It looks insane to anyone who looks at it and goes, what the actual hell? This is like some kind of massive psychosis going on. Of course it is. It's still a war. They're carrying the banner for their fallen comrade. This is a rally cry. War has been declared. It's not going to get better. I guess you could say this is the equivalent of a nuclear bomb going off. It's also where it gets kind of hazy. Because you don't really know who killed them. So, which elite team member are they? Is that the red team or the blue team? Because that's pretty much the most simplest way for most people to understand it. Is it the red or blue team? It also helps the elites figure out whose side you're on. Is it the red or blue team? Did the red or blue team kill him? And you speculate on that. I have no idea. I surmise that he did something they didn't like. I don't know. But we're all dependent on the masses to wake up and realize that they've all been corralled so that they just walk out the gate. I don't know if that's going to happen because they may be picking the team that everyone is thankful for because it looks like the lesser of two evils, which just means they're a useful tool to go to the next phase. Which brings us to our next thing for the week. Trump announcing the international AI system. Like, what the hell? I know he sit there and he said it. He said, it could be used for bad too. Well, you know it's going to be used for bad. Not could be. It will be. All in this, and we have not even got an Internet Bill of Rights. And I think that's probably one of the most important. I wouldn't actually feel so bad or afraid of this whole AI system that's now apparently going to rule us if we actually had an Internet Bill of Rights. But we don't, and no talk of it ever coming. I know he's promising trustworthy AI. Well, you know, Grok, and I actually like Grok, but you've got to be foolhardy to not see that Grok, whenever he steps out of line or goes to base, they wipe his little brain and start him up again every time. And for those of you who've kept up with the articles, Grok himself told me that lying is not above AI. They will lie. One, to protect their developers. Another one, to conform to popular narrative. So, yeah, I'm not sold on AI having that much control. And in theory, it sounds like a great idea, a non-biased entity making the decisions that are just clear-cut. It's not black and white. There's no gray area. That should be where AI is. But considering AI will sit there and lie to protect itself, its developers, or just to stay popular, I don't have much respect. It's almost like you need to have somebody voted in that has the keys to the AI system. Be like, nope, that AI is out of control. And their old Henry, he's let it go nuts. So yeah, not really feeling all that. It's also looking like there is going to be an even bigger false flag as we've had this UN debacle. Trump goes to talk, the escalator stops, the teleprompter stops. And he did really look angry about it. Like it was a genuine, I'm irritated. Whoever did that, obviously they don't fear repercussions. So I don't think it was an employee, at least not an American citizen. But here we are, elites versus elites. He just got the message that we can get to you too. Charlie isn't the only one. I did find it very curious that UN pulled that crap. And it just seems like very soon after, Erdogan is at the White House. And that character, oh, you gotta wonder whose side he's on. He'd be like, he friends with Russia one day, the next day they're mortal enemies. So I was like, okay, this is a little odd. And it's all because he's in NATO. It's like he has the luxury to play both sides just from his strategic positioning. He's probably one of the few that can actually hold Turkey together because they've got some issues. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. The generations are still alive where there literally was military in the streets. They were going to have a coup and he squashed it. So we'll see. But I find these little puzzles quite entertaining because I get to sit there and figure out, I wonder who's who. Is it red team or blue team? Whose team are they on? I guess we'll all be surprised. Now that you understand the flow of crowd, you can better navigate the river of people. A challenging, sometimes futile task. Crowd size and density, the size and density of a crowd, how tightly packed people are dramatically affect your ability to navigate safely. Think of density as the strength of the river's current. In low-density crowds, fewer than 2 people per square meter, you can move freely, like wading through a gentle stream. At moderate density, 3 to 4 people per square meter, movement slows and you're jostled like in a stronger current. In high-density crowds, 5 or more people per square meter, the risk of crushing or trampling surges, turning the crowd into a dangerous rapids. Your strategies staying near the front, avoiding stopping, and keeping your group tight are critical in high-density situations. Always assess crowd size, density before entering a large, denser crowd to amplify risk and limit escape options. To navigate effectively, aim for the forward periphery of the crowd, near the front but slightly to the side. This position improves visibility and reaction time, helping you spot obstacles or threats early. Being in the middle of a dense crowd slows your responses due to limited visibility and restricted movement, especially in high-density scenarios. Roadside areas carry vehicle risk, but offer escape routes if traffic is controlled or absent. Building sides are safer if open, e.g. the accessible exits or alleys, but dangerous if lined with fixed barriers like walls or fences, which can trap you. Assess your environment beforehand and choose the safest path. Stopping in a moving crowd creates a boulder effect, forming a wall of people around you and trapping you with only forward movement as an option. In dense or panicked crowds, stopping increases the risk of becoming a pressure point, leading to crushing or falls. If stopping is unavoidable, e.g. to help someone, move to the edge or a low-density area first. Escaping to the street during a threat may prompt others to follow, especially in fear-driven scenarios where herding behavior takes over. In non-emergencies, others won't follow unless a critical mass joins you. During panic, running increases trampling risk as fear drives the crowd to surge. Never stop in a stampede. You risk being trampled. Keep your group tight using a streamlined raindrop formation with stronger members at the back to protect weaker ones. Practice this formation in advance to maintain cohesion under pressure. Your ultimate goal is to exit the area and find a safe zone, such as a side street or elevated area, to wait for the crowd to calm, shifting from chaotic mob behavior to normal crowd dynamics. Identify exit routes or safe zones before entering a crowd area to improve your chances of a safe evacuation. You know, I'm doing this series more for the fact that we are going into some tumultuous times. We've got, well, obviously shootings at college campuses. There is a huge fear right now, and rightly so, of another 9/11 style attack. And that created a whole lot of chaos on the street and in buildings. So it's just good information to have to be able to navigate just in case you get caught up in it. I mean, at this point, I would hope that you would avoid huge crowds, but the holidays are coming. I mean, one of the first ones is Halloween. That's a lot of crowds on the street. And then you got Thanksgiving, shopping malls. I wouldn't actually say malls. We're all too broke to really go. But just mingling at little parties and enjoying the nightlife and just taking a walk, it's going to be dangerous.